Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
Hey there, this is Cassie, your host of the Ambitious Tribe podcast and show. Okay, so imagine you guys what it feels like to lead with more ease, authenticity, and an unbreakable vision and discipline. Well, we all know that in the world of business, whether you're in the Fortune 500, an entrepreneur, or maybe a service provider, leadership is very crucial. It's an asset that any person should have, and it's not being talked about often. So this is something that we're going to talk about today. So whether you are in the sales or in the marketing arena, or maybe you are in the leadership role, whatever that may be, wherever that you may be in, I mean, whatever position that you may be, right? These are valuable skills, but leadership really is something that you should hone yourself and not be neglected. So if you guys want to develop leadership, I just got to tell you, it's not just innate. It's also something that you can value and you can also build yourself, and it is something that will piece business together. On today's episode, we'll be having the master coach of Moxie Coaching. She runs a 10-month leadership development and coaching program called Lead Well, which aims for you to help you improve your habits that'll help you scale your business and your organization. Okay, so we'll endeavor to touch on these points today: overdependence, inability to solve problems, lack of initiative, disengagement, and so on and so forth. So you guys, you're driven and ambitious. Let's welcome Jen Birch. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Cassie. I'm so excited to be here. And I love the name of your podcast, The Ambitious Tribe. I think it just invites people to think about what do they want.
We're all ambitious, right? Yeah. So Jen, thank you so much for being here. I mean, Jen and I are part of the same cohort, and it's just lovely that we are all ambitious, driven, and are gearing towards leading our own businesses. But with your business, Jen, maybe before we dive into that, can you tell us a little background of who you are? Many milestones ago, who is Jen anyway?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, who is Jen? Well, I probably first identify myself as a little sister of six brothers and two sisters. I come from a big family in Minnesota, in the US, and I have always had a desire to want to just help people. And I knew I would always have some type of business. I come from a family of a lot of entrepreneurs and entrepreneurial spirit. And so I always thought I'm going to do something for myself someday. And I worked a lot in retail management. So in stores, I helped open some stores called Rainforest Cafe, if anybody has ever heard of that. And just that fashion merchandising and management was my career for a long time. And so I moved out of that into some other careers, and I was oftentimes a high performer, and yeah. I kind of got stuck at one job, and one of my colleagues said, you should hire a coach. You maybe need a coach. And it actually irritated me to hear that. And I thought, I don't need a coach. Why don't you get a coach? Now, this was 20 years ago.
Okay. It's amazing. All right.
Yeah. And so the next week I bumped into somebody who was this life coach, and I was like, what is this? I was very skeptical, but my good colleague knew me well, and I was feeling really stuck. Like, I felt like I was at the top of my game, and I thought, God, I bet this is what people mean about this glass ceiling. Like, I don't think I can get past here. And I was so used to thriving and being a star performer, and it just felt like my world was getting smaller and more difficult to thrive. So I thankfully had some dollars within the organization for professional development, and I tried this coach, and I liked it. I couldn't quite, it was hard for me to even to explain what she'd helped me with, but I just felt like I thought more clearly, and I started to bust through some barriers that I was having. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. I ended up, there were three main goals that I hit when I worked with her. And one was I blew away some goals in my career. I lost some weight, like I was just not feeling as healthy. And I was at a point in my life where I didn't have as many friends. You know, you get to this point as an adult, and I felt like a kindergartner even admitting it out loud to her. But you get to a point where you're evaluating and just saying, I have a lot of people I know, but I want better friends. And it feels so awkward, at least it did for me, to say that. And I worked on that and I got real intentional with all of the parts of my life. Wow. And that would, yeah. And that is where I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a coach one day. I didn't even know this job existed. And I made this goal of saying in 2007, I'm going to open my own coaching business. And the motto was live intentionally, because I was so motivated about what happened for me. I just wanted it to happen for other people. And I was hitting places that I literally did not think were possible. Like I thought it was the end of the road. And I just thought, how exciting to be able to tap into something that feels impossible.
I love that, Jen. But Jen, I just want to circle back to when you said this was 20 years ago.
Yes.
That, you know, this entire coaching thing. Now, I've been telling my mentees also that coaching and consulting is a pandemic-proof, crisis-proof occupation.
Great point.
It has been there. Actually, it was the birth of this career happened during, well, as with my research too, happened when, you know, the great recession happened super long ago, right? Even in the 1930s, if I'm not mistaken. But, and people don't just understand that. Going back into that, what, 20 years ago, and you were saying that you kind of felt like, oh, I don't want this, I don't need this, what coaching, stuff like that. What went through your head that made you decide to finally get into that coach thing? I mean, that was a long time ago. Did it hurt your ego? Did it hurt, like, I don't know, like, what happened? What was coaching then?
Well, honestly, what happened was I was so stuck. And then and somebody mentioned this, and it felt like, what the heck? Honestly, I was like, what the hell? And it was a male colleague, an older colleague. And I just thought, you get a coach. What is a coach? I felt like something must be wrong with me, but my brain was just transformed because I tried. I mean, I ended up being able to work with this coach for a year. And I mean, that's what happened. I was like, what the heck is she even doing when I don't even exactly know what she's doing to me when we because it felt like she was doing something, because I felt like I could get to a different part of my brain and my genius when I was with her, when I was talking with her, when I was planning, when I was strategizing with her. It was like there was more to me than I realized.
Beautiful. And I want to touch on that. What was the difference between the coaching then, the practice that was done to you or done with you, to the coaching now? Is there a huge difference?
No, it's the same thing. No, it's the same thing. And you know what? She had been in business for 10 years at that point. My coach had been in business for 10 years. And so it's not like this was new.
And what was the common denominator now that you have, you're a coach now. So what was the perception that changed when you said, okay, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to have you as my coach. And it totally, it differentiated all those thoughts that you had. What was a coach then and what is a coach now? And how do you actually define what this?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I would say back then it was, peer coaching was very common. Like either you were a peer coach or forget it, like peer, P-U-R-E, like 100% just coaching. But I think what happened was people wanted a blend of your expertise and coaching. And to me, the simplest version of coaching is that it's drawing out potential instead of pouring in information. So I like to describe the difference between mentoring training, and coaching. And so I think today, you know, we're in the information age and people want information because it's quick and fast. Mm. But here's the thing. Mm. Coaching is not an Instapot. It's not a microwave. It's a slow cooker.
I love that analogy. Yeah, it's a slow cooker, meaning
if you want sustainable habits, and that's what coaching gives you. When you work with somebody, and they're a really masterful coach, it's not about me fire hosing all the information I can at you. It's about me being wise enough and like following that intuition and pausing and asking you, because 80% of the time, you know what you need to do. It's our own mind that gets in the way. And so our biggest challenger, our biggest opponent is not our competition. Yeah. It's your mind. And we have to work on that. And we can change it. I said to my original coach one time, she was asking me to explain myself, I think, for some reason, right? It was like in the middle of a situation, like, how would you describe yourself? And I was saying things like cheery and energetic and friendly. And I believe she said something about intelligent. Okay. And it caught me because I was like, oh, I'm not intelligent. Because I had this perception that I was not intelligent. I was fun and cheery and positive, but not intelligent. That was reserved for, you know, my little brother was really smart and intelligent, or other people, not me. And so this was a self-perception that I had that I needed to bust, that I didn't even realize. So by her even asking that question and poking and challenging on that, I mean, I don't think I would probably be here today if I hadn't been able to look at myself and celebrate the intelligence and brilliance that I do bring to the table, and that I like can stand in that confidently and say, yep, here's what I do. This is what I'm an expert in. This is my zone of genius.
Yeah, and I truly, truly resonate with you that this entire entrepreneurship journey that we're getting into, actually, even if you're not in an entrepreneurship journey, even if in your corporate, whatever, you know, phase in life that you are, it all involves healing, and it all involves also busting your limiting beliefs.
Because,
you know, I mean, at the end of the day, maybe I think this comes with age as well, that it's also because of our environment. That's why it's affecting the way that the way that we decide on things, the way that we grow, how we want to grow, how we, and all these things, and being imprisoned by money, maybe, or maybe by circumstances.
Or our thoughts. I would even say our thoughts. Like, it's the conditioning. Yeah, it's the webinar once on, it was geared towards women specifically, but it was like, girl, get a little selfish. And it was really talking about this idea of putting yourself first, even for the sake of your family, even for the sake of the world. Like, how do you, like, that self-care and putting yourself first is not selfish. That is actually a selfless act, because you're like recognizing that you're important enough. And that message, see, that's conditioning. And a lot of times, like, that thought of mine that I wasn't intelligent was conditioning. I was raised in this big fun family right next to a little brother. And I love my little brother. I'm going to celebrate his wedding today.
That's so good.
Yes, he's getting remarried. But here's the thing. He was super, super smart. Like, he's a chemical engineer. So he was very textbooks. He's had a high IQ. Jen has a high EQ. And I continue to work on my emotional intelligence. But I didn't recognize that, because when we were little and standing there, people would say, oh, he's so smart and she's so cute. That's what they would say to me. They didn't mean anything by it, but I grew up, my conditioning. So we have to examine, what are we telling ourselves? And we can change that.
I would love to touch on that too, because just recently my husband and I were like talking about this also. And then when I told him, you know what, we have to stop saying cute to babies. Instead, tell them, oh my God, she is so smart. Like, let's praise, you know, the capabilities that they're doing, not because they're cute, not because they're pretty, not because, and he was like, wow, I mean, well, where did this coming from? And we don't have children yet, but I have my brother has a wonderful, beautiful smart.
child. Nice. I love that.
Smart child. And every time that I see, you know, posts on Instagram, people were like, oh, she's cute. Oh, she's cute. And I was like, you know what? There's something wrong with, you know, just saying cute, because she is smart. She is intelligent. She's doing things that are not usual with babies. I'm not saying that there are things that babies usually do, but what I'm just saying is it's amazing how the brain of a child, right, develops on its own by seeing what their parents are doing and what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. So, well, and it's all that what we hear, you know, all that conditioning, those. And I think I love what you said, praise their capabilities. Let's take that out as a, that's a social media post right there. That's a quote to share. I mean, praise their capabilities. We talk about that a lot, and just like getting in the habit of affirming people and not even like, hey, I think you're great, because that kind of becomes about me. But let's flip it. And this is one thing we teach in our program. Saying you're great, and here's why. You're great because you're willing to be different. You're willing to go against the grain, Cassie. You know, like, now that, isn't that different? Doesn't that feel different to say, hey, Cassie, I think you're so awesome. That's nice, but let's go beyond that. Let's practice getting a healthier way of acknowledging and celebrating what we see in each other and tell them why.
Exactly. And just like when we say, I mean, it's another realization too that I kind of like, I had to take this shift also whenever I'd speak to other people. Like, instead of saying, oh my God, I'm so proud of you, now I would say, you must be so proud of yourself.
Oh, right? That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Right? Instead of saying, oh my gosh, congratulations, you did so well. It's more of like, oh my gosh, how does it feel like that you did so well?
That's
right?
Nice,
it's extracting, you know, I mean, extracting the feeling from them, because I felt like, as an encourager, as a leader, which I would want to talk to you about this, as a leader, I think it's also our responsibility to make other people know that they're great and they're not robots. And I don't know, maybe I'm having these kinds of realizations too, because now that, I mean, my niece, and now we're in this coaching world, I was like, how do we actually reinforce and bring people up that information is good, but really how you actually value yourself and your intellect and your being is what will really drive you to according to the life that you want. It's not about the bells and whistles. It's not about the funnels,
right,
but it's in the brain and just what you just touched. Now, I wanted to ask you about leadership. Mm-hmm. What is leadership really? I mean, in your context.
That's a big question.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think there's two parts to leadership. I think there's people and processes.
Huh. All right. Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, so processes, you have to have a system that works. Right? You have to have good processes that good people can follow. And if something's broken in your business, it could be because there's not a good process, or there's a broken process, or the people aren't equipped, or they aren't the right fit, or they aren't trained. And so I am a hound dog about both. I mean, I'm like, I'm relentless about both. I've talked about systems and processes a lot. And so that's, I would say, a smaller theme in what we talk about. But the main thing is, so for, this is maybe a good way to explain it. Mm-hmm. I started out my coaching practice as an entrepreneur coach. And my motto was, besides live intentionally, was, you know what? I help people get profits and get a life. It struck me that people sort of looked at it like, I have to have one or the other. I mean, either people were burnt out and had a shitty life, or just were like always complaining, like, I'm so busy, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted. And they were probably horrible, you know, like not fun to work with, or they couldn't figure out how to make a profit. They were scared to charge what they're worth. They were struggling. And always talking about how much they're struggling. And so I'm like, let's have a nice combustion of those two.
Integrate
and do
it,
both. So I did that and helped people with that. And it was so exciting to help people grow their business. So I worked in I did all kinds of programs, this Be Strategic program, where helped people grow their businesses beyond 3 years and just really get profitable. So I do I'm good at that. But what would happen was this: people would exceed their goals 12 to 18 months, blowing their goals out of the water. And then they'd say, Jen, Will you? I need to learn to talk to the team that I have the way you talk to me. Can I do that? And so I think it's like leadership is accomplishing things through other people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's one thing. And it's
a transfer of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And empowering. Ooh. I mean, I feel like in order to lead others well, this is our motto. You have to start with yourself. So when you're a high performer, your little blind spots, and if you're burnt out, you know, you can kind of hide that. It can kind of be invisible in your like results. But when you're a leader, everyone's going to see the gaps. Everyone's going to see, if you're not role modeling healthy habits, people are probably not going to have healthy habits. And if you're burnt out and tired, you're sending this message to your team. This is how we get things done. And are people going to stick around and be a part of that party? Probably not, because I don't know that anyone's desiring to have that kind of result. So that was kind of a long answer, but I think that's a little bit of leadership.
No, but it is good. It's actually great because, you know, I have been seeing, I was in corporate as well, and I've always been wanting to become a general manager. And one thing that I recognized and noticed is that there are different types of leaders, one of which is someone who hides behind closed doors. You can't even feel them. And the people that you're just going to feel are just your managers. But your managers are either grumpy, always rushing, or, you know, all these things. So it always makes me wonder, if the leadership team is like this, what is it like to be up there and behind the closed doors? Or, right? Or it could be the other one who is omnipresent, who will pick up the phone if the staff needs help, who will show, not really show, but really more of like be there with hard work, not hard work, right? And show the team or the entire staff that, hey, I may be the leader, but this is teamwork in order to make the dream work. And these are the two types of leaders that I have experienced in my life as well. And I didn't know that, not until I got a little bit more, you know, older, that, oh my gosh, the leadership also is responsible to the growth of the career of the other people. They're responsible for that. So whether they stick to this corporation or not, they actually bring that fear or habit or whatever
all
to the next one. Yes. All of it. It's like
all
a negative
of it. It's all coming out. Yep.
Yeah. And I wanted to touch on that because I think that it's also not the other person. I mean, it's not the person's fault if they become an asshole, maybe, or if they become too lenient, or, you know, whatever. But I think it goes both ways. And I wanted to touch on coaching and consulting as leadership too. It's just a name, maybe, like, but it has a value. And I wanted to ask you about, how do we fix things if they were bringing that in their backpacks, these terrible things that they don't know that they actually just inherited from other people too? So how do we fix things, and how do you become a good leader?
Yeah, that's such a great question, and I love the story. I mean, I like how you just sort of articulated like that they're hiding behind some of these things, and
yeah,
they aren't, you know, and that's a really great point that they didn't necessarily choose it to be that way. I think there's a problem in corporate America, the corporate world of, and just in the way we lead, the way we've done it is, hey, is there a superstar performer? Great, let's have them be the manager. They're good at what they do. They should be the manager. And then we don't train them.
Yeah.
And we don't leading people is different than this technical expertise or ability you had to do the job. Like, being an individual contributor is different than helping other people be individual contributors. And people, when they make that gap, it's like using a hammer to put a screw in the wall. Like a hammer was successful over here, and over here it's like making a bunch of holes, and why can't I get this out? You know, I'm just keep hammering away instead of using the actual correct tools. So Well, I have a free training that I did, and it's called The Secret to Building a Kick-Ass Team. Yeah. And one of the things I talk about in there are the three barriers that get in the way of leading well. And I think it's, I mean, it, I thought of it as you were talking, because how do you become a better leader? Well, you start to actually examine yourself and say, what blind spots might I have? Okay. Now, blind spots are tough, right? Because if you don't have self-awareness, right? If you don't know you're being an asshole, you don't know. So you could start by just asking your team, hey, I have a few questions of how am I doing with this stuff? Now you have to be ready for the answer. And here's the other thing. A lot of team members, if there's not something we call, it's a little technical, but have you heard of this term psychological safety?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's essentially a feeling of like, hey, I'm safe to take risks here. I'm going to bring this up to my boss because they're not going to get mad at me. Or I'm not meeting my deadline, and so I'm going to bring this up to my boss so I can get a new deadline. I mean, here's the thing. There's a lot of organizations out there that people are scared to death to tell you the truth.
Hey, Driven and Ambitious, do you dig today's topic? Well, I'm interrupting my own episode to invite you to apply for the free private training through www.cassiepajarillo.com, where you get to learn how to have a powerful profile online as you turn your network into paid high-ticket clients with a plan. If you're still scratching your head on how to make LinkedIn and social media work for you, this training has helped coaches, consultants, private practitioners, and content creators adopt digital transformation, have systems, processes, and structures in their practice, and be amazing profitable CEOs online. By the end of the training, you'll walk away with a deeper understanding, implementable way forward, and a roadmap for your online coaching or consulting businesses that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Remember, there are no glass ceilings, and you can definitely prioritize work-life integration. Apply today at www.cassiepajarillo.com. Link is in the description box below. Can't wait to see you there. And now let's get back to today's episode. Yes, people lie, even everywhere.
Yeah, they're so scared to tell you the truth. And so the number one conversation that I have, Cassie, when we're getting back there, but like when we could go to dinner parties or like, you know, at a networking event, people would hear what I have to say. And I'd say, oh, I have this 10-month program and it's for people who lead teams and want to, you know, better leaders, build better teams. And it's like a personal development coaching program. We actually teach leaders coaching skills. They say, Jen, my boss should be in your program. I mean, I hear it all the time. And I'm like, I should have an anonymous nominate your boss button on my website, because honest to God, we would have probably more people than we could possibly help, because I have so many people and they'll go into telling me my boss does this and my boss does this. Now, that's also a product of when somebody hears something, instead of recognizing how they maybe could benefit from it, we look out. So if you're the boss, just having some self-awareness, telling your people, hey, I really want to work on my communication skills. I'd love it if you could give me some honest feedback on, you know, these 10 things. How am I doing with these things in communication? Could you just rate me? And I honestly want to know your feedback. And you're going to have to tell them again and again, because they're probably scared to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because of what might happen.
Yeah, that's true. And people, even if you ask them, actually, people would say, oh, boss, you're good.
You're good.
Yeah. You're good. We're good. Yeah. And then at the back of, you know, I mean, during their lunch break, so they're like, oh, my boss is just sick, you know. So I think it's really important to, I love what you said about feedback, because as entrepreneurs as well, or as, you know, leaders ourselves, we need to continuously have feedback.
Because you really do. You got to get used to it.
We're not perfect. I mean, we're not perfect, but we try and strive to address the gaps that we have to address. And it's a good thing that, I think it's a human right. It should be a human right to have feedbacks, but there's also a way to do that. And with your expertise too, what is a proven framework, or at least a proven way that for anyone to actually tell or share their feedback to their bosses or to their mentors or their coaches if things yes. are doing well and they and but they believe in what you're doing, it's just not working.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I learned something from a author named Marshall Goldsmith, and it's called Feed Forward. It's a little corny, but I like it. I just like the idea because you can kind of hang on. I gotta fix my shoe. You can remember it because it's, you know, the alliteration of two F's, feed forward. And it goes like this. If I'm going to give you some feedback or some input on how we're working together, instead of talking about the past, talk about the future.
Huh. Okay. It's good.
So you would say something, it might sound like this. Hey, Cassie, when we are working together, one thing that would be helpful in the future, when we find a problem like this, is if we could approach it like this. So we make a request about the future instead of saying, hey, you know what? That 2 weeks ago when you did that, that was horrible. That was so difficult on me. And here's why. See, the past is static. The future is dynamic. We can't, it's expansive. Somebody can lean into that future and try something different. But in the past, I mean,
what else?
What can you do? And let's just leave it up to that person to do some reflecting. I mean, I just don't think if there's a serious issue in an organization, if somebody's like a violating a policy, an ethical policy, of course you have to address it. So, but I do think that there's a lot of ways that you can talk about things without being punitive. And most of the time, most humans know what they've done wrong. They're going to self-reflect and they're going to kind of go, oh, I could do that better, couldn't I? And thank you for being so graceful and telling me what you want in the future. So I think that's a really great way to do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people all of us would need to learn how to reframe our words.
Oh, yes. We talk. I mean, honestly, so many of my clients used to say, Jen, you just like teach me how to language things. And which I don't even know if that's proper English, but it's like how do you say it? And that's why I feel like I'm the habit queen. Like really what I'm doing is teaching people to pause and say some things differently. Like here's what I mean. Here's what I'm saying. Well, let's try this. Let's try saying it this way. So in our program, we practice. We have twice a month, there's opportunities to practice leadership. And so we might be in a situation where you're practicing coaching me and I'm going to be live mentor coaching you and say, Cassie, that's a good question, but let's make it great. Instead of asking that closed-ended question where there's even a little assumption of what you want for the answer, ask this question this way. Try it. And it's really like, it's like building a new habit for people. It's like telling them to walk backwards when they're used to walking forwards.
Yeah. Huh. That's beautiful. I just learned something new today. No, but yeah, I mean, okay. So going through that framework or that approach.
Yeah.
It would still be some people who are maybe introverts or they lack the initiative or are scared to actually, you know, like to step forward.
I mean, yes.
How do we, I believe that there's something to heal with those kind of fear. I'm not sure even if it's fear or insecurity, but there are people who just needs that. I mean, how do we get to excrete, you know, information or excrete contribution from people who lack initiative or are just scared to stand up or step up?
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we work on, is teaching the leaders to draw it out if it's there. So, I mean, one of the things that we teach in coaching, and I mean, you know this too, is you also have to work on being direct in service of the organization and in service of the human in front of you. So it's not direct to be, you know, punitive, it's direct with kindness. So that's like the number one thing people usually have to work on is listening skills. I mean, and we have introverts and we have extroverts. Some of our introverts keep coming back. Like they love it. I mean, so I don't think it's to say, I mean, everybody is scared who comes into the program. Every CEO, every manager, every it doesn't matter. Everyone's got this discomfort of trying something new. So be scared and do it anyway. That is one of the rules we have.
Life is short. Why not?
Just do it. I mean, come on, let's try it. Just try it. And don't wait until you're 100% ready, because you're never going to get there. It's like learning to swim when, you know, and you can, well, let's see. You asked, how do you get that initiative when there's a lack of initiative? That's actually the question you asked. So, I mean, that's what we teach. First of all, is the person a good fit on your team? And so we have to, that's the being direct part that I was talking about. Like just yesterday in our lab, somebody said, you know, how do I make sure I'm not overbearing when I'm having my monthly performance meeting with this person? Well, and as he started talking, he said, well, actually, Jabrel was a little entitled the last time we talked. And he looked at me and said, you know, I don't need this job anyway. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, we might be having more conversations about Jabrel, because I would, you know, like we might need to, you're probably going to have to ask Jabrel, does he really want to be here? I mean, do you want somebody on your team who's saying, I don't really need this job?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that might be an indicator that that would just be an indicator to say, are you happy here, buddy? Do you like this job? Because you don't have to work here. Go do something you love. So you can't be afraid to let go of people. But let's have a transparent discussion to say, is it a good fit? If it is a good fit, here are the expectations of your role. Let's be sure. So that's one way. And we taught, like our group session yesterday was all about expectations. If you have done a poor job of setting expectations, if they're not written, if they're not communicated over and over clearly, then it's going to be hard for people to hit the mark. I mean, it's like saying, here's a dart, get a bullseye, but oh, I'm going to put a blindfold on you so you can't see where the bullseye is. Well, you've got to tell people what the bullseye is and how to get there. You've got to equip them and empower them. So that's how you build initiative.
Yeah, I love what you just said about a bullseye. And I think in every industry, or anyone for that matter, really needs to communicate that, hey, we are onboarding you, we are onboarding each other. This is a relationship. It's not just a job, but rather something. It's a dance. It's a rhythm. And I think even in entrepreneurship, we all have our own horror stories in terms of hiring and firing. I mean, they were saying, right, hire slow, fire fast.
Quick, slow to fire, slow to hire, quick to fire. Yes.
Right. But the thing is, it's also hard to find the right person. And the only way, I mean, not really maybe the only way, but maybe you can help me onto this. But one of the ways for you to know if this person is the right match is beyond the CV. It's really about talking to this person, having to try them out, and, you know, and investing on maybe some time together before you could say, okay, you and I are the perfect match. And I think a lot of people too are scared to fire people because it was, right? Like they're going to feel, it's the pandemic. I'm responsible for the livelihood of this person and stuff like that. But for you, what are your thoughts when it comes to hiring and firing and filling in the gaps on how do you get to actually find the unicorn that you're looking for?
Yeah, that's so good. I love it. We all want the unicorn. That's a beautiful, perfect unicorn. Well, a couple of things. I noticed one of your, so see, our mindset slips out in the words that we say. It's not, we don't have to go, here's my mindset. So your mindset, I noticed, might be hiring is hard. Finding a great person is hard, because you said that. So right away, I'd say, let's reframe that. How do you want to reframe that? Can you just practice? Do you want to try?
Oh my gosh, suddenly we're doing a coaching call.
sorry.
Should I edit this out? okay, how do we reframe it anyway?
So we'd reframe it like, what's another word you could use instead of hiring is hard? Hiring the right person is?
Hiring the right person is... Oh, okay. Hiring the right person is a journey.
There you go. You just did it. Okay. Now you start telling yourself that instead of hiring is hard. It's not like we're minimizing the work, because sister friend, it is work. Holy buckets. I'm hiring a marketing coordinator right now. and we are up leveling, and we've built a funnel and an application and a landing page and an assignment. And I am like, the first application I got, I was like, oh, wow, she'd be awesome. And then I got a couple of applications and I was like, wow, they're not as good as the other person. And then I just got another application last night and I was going bananas. I mean, it's like the person, it's like I waved a magic wand and they have all of this experience.
Unicorn.
I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, process and people, what's the process you're going to follow? And here's the thing, we're not going to knock it out of the park 100% of the time. There's going to be people you hire that will be your teacher. They will teach you, hey, your process has a couple holes in it. You might need to do this better. You might need to interview 5 people instead of hire the first one that you see because you're feeling desperate. And you're like, oh my God, they can do the job. Thank God. You know, I mean, we're growing as we're doing. And that's kind of the premise of all that I teach is like, it's, we're in a mastery. We're in a process of mastery. I think of it like, what is it called? You know, like martial arts, karate and aikido and those kind of things. Yeah. If you've ever seen some of that, when you go into a studio, there's people with their white belt, which is usually the beginning. Yeah. And there's people with their black belt with the 3 stripes and the fancy special colored outfit, all together in the same studio, working and practicing. They never say, I'm done. I'm done. So I'm not going to go practice. And to me, that's what we've done. And that's what I think is important for leaders. Like, you have to keep practicing it. So if you think of that, even with hiring, yeah, we could say it's hard, but blah, I don't like that idea. I don't like that word. Like, that's going to close you in. It's a journey. It's a journey that I get to take because I have a business and I get to share my wealth with somebody by having them work in their zone of genius. So it'll free me up to do some things that I can do. Let's do it.
I totally agree. It took me a while to hire someone. It took my chronic fatigue to finally say, hey, I'm going to hire someone. And I had to go through numerous, you know, referrals until I found my unicorn. And I called her as my unicorn. And she knows of that. Anyway, but what I love about it too is that it taught me also a lot of things about what do you need to heal about your perception about money, about hiring, about your trust issues, about your insecurities, yes, about things doing perfect, about you delegating, about the processes, about holy camote, Santa Banana, just a lot of things, right? And when my chronic fatigue happened, I was like, okay, girl, you only have 2 hours of energy and you need help. You got to just like, you know what? Money is a tool, right? You keep on saying that. And why not practicing it? I was like, you know what? Okay, fine. And it's lovely because she was like, I'm just going to share this. Hi, Michelle. If you are listening, I love you. Anyway, she's going to be editing this. So yeah. So what I told her was, you know what? And she told me like, okay, Cassie, I'm going to work with you for a couple of months and for this rate, or actually don't pay me at all. And then just try me out. And if you're happy, then propose to me. And I was like, okay. And then the first week that she's been working with me, I was like, rainbows, pots, gold, rainbows, everything. You're my unicorn. And yeah, and I just like, you know, giving her what she deserves. And she's like, oh my gosh, that cast, that's too big of a price. I mean, why not, you know, I mean, start of it. I'm like, no, you deserve it. And I love it when you said about hiring, firing is not a bad thing. It's just really a journey.
It's part of the practice. I mean, I've helped so many people figure out what's their hiring process. And a big part of it then is your onboarding process. How are you leading the person when they're new? And they're new for 30 days and then 60 days and then 90 days. And I love to teach, have a really good conversation with your person every 90 days. Like, sit down and go pause button on all of the hustle bustle. How are you doing? I teach 5 questions to ask, and I can tell them if you'd like. Yeah. Want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay. What's working?
Okay.
Like, have the person write down everything that's working well with their job and the relationship between you and them. What's not working so hot? Be ready to hear it. Be humble. Listen and be brave when you share. Be honest. Let's have this built in so we don't have a bunch of reactive issues sneak up. So we just automatically talk about this every 90 days. Number 3 is, what are you learning in your role? What are you learning about yourself? So it's always, what are you learning? Number four is, what needs to change, if anything, in order to make our relationship better? You know, so you can kind of add your little last part on, but what needs to change about you? What needs to change about me? And I like that, letting people own it. What needs to change? Somebody might say, I will do this so often, and someone will say, I probably need to get better instruction from you before we move forward. Well, great. Because in my head, if I think you understood, I'm like, let's move, pedal to the metal, let's go. And I'm like, good, I need you to say, Jen, wait a second, I don't understand enough, I need better direction. So it's been so powerful. And number five, what will we do from here? What are we going to commit to? What will you do? What will I do for the next 90 days? And let's talk again tonight. Let's schedule it right now. Let's put the date on the calendar and do it, because, you know, otherwise a year can go by and there can be crisis, and now somebody's leaving and you have to hire a new person. And this way it's much better too. Like if somebody, I just talked with somebody yesterday and someone had left and he didn't like retrain and put somebody in that person's place to the full extent he wanted to. Well, when you do these kind of performance discussions every 90 days and just check-ins, well, why not know if somebody's dissatisfied and probably getting ready to leave?
Like, why did you do that? You
just have a plan. Yeah. Don't be afraid of it. We can't be afraid of it. It's going to happen. Good people go do good things. Maybe they're going to work for you forever. Maybe not. Maybe they'll work for you 2 years, 3 years. But ask, are you happy here? Do you like it? What's working? What's not working? What are you learning? What needs to change? What will you do? The five great questions.
Yeah, that's so true. And be happy for them if they feel like, hey, Cassie, I'm not growing here, or I think I have to switch lanes. And just be happy for them.
You love to hear that rather than having it be an issue and like somebody not show up one day?
And then suddenly they just screw up everything and they're just going to be dragging. Yeah, that's so true. And one of my VAs also just left me. I'm having separation anxiety already. But when she told me about it, hey, Cassie, you know what? With all your teaching, I learned to just focus on one thing. And I was like, why did I say that? So just focus on one thing and be good at it. So I figured I'm just going to be a VA for fitness instructors and rather than business coaches. And I was like, why did I say that again?
Open up, you know, like I just believe in that, you know, God's got a bigger plan. Like there's just a bigger something going on here. So that probably opened up space for you to get even somebody better, even a better fit who wants to grow with you and help you build the ambitious tribe. I mean, and I'm sure she did too. So I feel like even if somebody doesn't work out, they get us to that next gap. Like it's a stepping stone to the next bigger milestone.
Absolutely. And the way that I saw it was, it has nothing to do with me. Really, it has nothing to do with me. It's just that she was listening to all my whatever I'm saying and this coaching calls and whatsoever. And she just realized, oh my gosh, I just realized something that is giving me growth. And because of choosing that, she has now a lot of clients. And I was like, girl, congratulations. I'm happy for you. And she would always come back to me and say, hey, Cassie, thanks for, you know, letting me know of this. I mean, I didn't know what I'm capable of. Not until you kept on saying that. I was like,
oh. So I would count that. Let's get a testimonial from her, because that's huge. That's coaching at work. That's transformation happening. That's sustainable. That's brave and honest.
It is. And that's how I wanted to, you know, I wanted to also communicate to all of our listeners that coaching is not just you serving those who pay you, but it's also those people that you pay for. Those who spend time with you, those who get married with you, or even to your husband, to your children, to everyone. And coaching is, and consultancy, and it's a leadership. And leadership is everywhere, basically. So it's just really a matter of choice on how we see things or the perception. And that's what I'm learning from you as well. It's all about perception and the language that we use.
Oh, yes. It's so powerful. Our subconscious is like 80% more, 30% more powerful than our conscious brain. And so we have to be mindful and thoughtful about what we're saying to ourselves, what we're saying to others. And just, you know, we have this saying, and it's my grandma used to say it, crumbs is bread. And like her English, she was learning English and she would say crumbs is bread. And so it's not proper English, but essentially it means the tiny little crumb is still a piece of the bigger piece thing that you want. And so small steps, we don't grow from like zero to 60. That just doesn't it might happen. But no, I'm always like, we'll say Usain Bolt did not become an Olympic gold medalist in a night. I mean, it's millions and hundreds of growth moments. So embrace them.
Yeah, that's great. And thank you for sharing that. We should put that in as a quote. Crumbs with bread. Thank you.
Crumbs with bread. Do it. I have it right in our, yeah.
All right. So one more thing. In terms of, a lot of people are opting for coaching, consulting, service based. I mean, people are like changing careers right now. And I wanted them to engage onto leadership seriously. And whether they go for your program or they go for mine or whoever else that they choose, in terms of choosing the right leader, the right mentor, whatever you may call it,
coach,
what's the number one thing that they should ask themselves and maybe they should also check on when it comes to choosing the right person to guide them or work with them?
Okay, well, I'm going to answer that as two parts because I think the number one thing you should do is say, what result do I want? Perfect. Be really clear about that. We have a mini course called Get Clear. And it's like, don't go, if somebody meets me or you or anybody, and it's like, oh my gosh, they're so nice and so fun to be around. And the energy is amazing. Well, that's great. Good. That's probably an indicator that it's a good fit. Beyond that, what do you want? What result? What needs to be different 1 year from now to make this investment of Cassie's program amazing? Be clear about that. Go after it relentlessly. Go after it. So if you're not clear, like that's one of our values in our program is ROI, return on your investment. Whatever I'm going to do, if it's what's the result I want? And it might be more of a feeling or a being, but in a business, in leadership, it's usually going to be like our clients will have 10 times, 30 times growth of their investment. Like, well, I spent $9,000 and it was this, I had $172,000 of growth in my business. So that I attribute to this. So it was worth it. Get clear, get granular with it. Think about what you want, because when you're in the path, like once you enroll and you start working with a coach, it's easy to get kind of caught up maybe in, moments and lose like in right in front of you and lose sight of the big picture. So just remember, how is this crumb moving me towards the bread? how is this moving me towards the big outcome? Right. If to use that analogy. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
And then I think, are you willing to do the work with this person? Are you willing to be vulnerable with this human being in front of you? If you're not willing to put your cards on the table, it's probably not going to work. Like that's your work, my work. Like if I wasn't willing to look at my coach and say, I don't really feel very intelligent. Like that was hard for me to admit. It was humbling because I felt a little embarrassed to be like, I don't really look at myself as intelligent. Can we use a different word? And then she was like, ooh, let's look at that. What's going on there? And then I realized, oh, it's because this conditioning I had. So you better be willing to get a little vulnerable and do the work, willingness and readiness.
Thank you for sharing that. And that's very pivotal. And when you commit, I just wanted to add on to that. When you commit on something, paying for a course or paying for a program, paying for a mentor, paying for a coach, whatever it is you're going to pay for or paying for, that's the easiest part, right? It's the easiest part. But the long term here is that it's looking into what else are you going to do in order for you to get into the destination. And it's always about slow growth, not speed. I mean, I know people want speed. Everybody wants $1 million right away. Like, oh, how come this person, had $1 million in 1 month? Honey, they've been in business for X number of years. So, there are a lot of factors. So don't compare your chapter one to your chapter two. And I love it when you said about these two parts, right? And I love it when you said about it and having to echo on doing the work And also realizing if it's a perfect fit, it's more than just an emotion. It's also having to know what is the transformation.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting from you. And
you're so articulate. Yes, exactly.
So thank you for sharing that. And that's just really amazing. Okay, so I just wanted to ask you before we end this episode, can you tell me more about LeadWell and what is the transformation that they'll be expecting with LeadWell?
It's so fun. I just love watching my clients. Well, here the things that I hear are this.
Yeah.
The difficult conversations are easier. I have more time in my week to do the things I've always dreamt of doing. I've had this goal of building this XYZ curriculum, and I actually have 3 hours a week now dedicated to that. Yeah. My relationships with my family are better. I mean, those are the kind of things we hear. And I mean, it's amazing. Honestly, sometimes, Cassie, I get surprised when I'm interviewing people about their return on their investment. I hear them say, you know, well, my mindset changed. And so when this particular employee I was working with was having trouble, I used these LeadWell coaching skills. And suddenly she was able to solve the problem. And we were about to lose a client that was an $85,000 a year client. And she's kept that client. And then the person was so happy, we got another client for the $85,000. So I was able to empower this person to solve the problem. And the guy's saying, I didn't have to do the work. Because so many people are used to being superstar leaders and jumping in and it getting burnt out. And that's not sustainable. So that's the kind of transformation people get. And the crazy thing, which I didn't anticipate, but you know, it's essentially like LeadWell is how I work with people one-on-one in this group setting. And they all are people who lead teams to accomplish things, build their business, grow the business, grow the department. And there's people at all different levels. So we can have CEOs and we can have frontline managers. There's teams that come in, like we have a team of three, one CEO and two senior VPs. And then we have smaller businesses where it's the business owner. And then we have people who are the mid-level manager. And so we meet weekly for an hour. Sometimes it's laser coaching, like I'll coach people a couple of times a month. And then a couple of times a month, it's practice. But we also have once a month, the CEO Culture Club. So it's all about how do you build coaching into your culture? Because I really believe there's a revolution out there in the way leadership gets done. And it's a coaching culture. It's build, how do you build? And that's really what we're all about at LeadWell is building this coaching culture. And you have to start with yourself.
I love that. CEO culture. I want that. Can we coin that? Can we trademark that? That's so cool. All right. So, well, thank you so much, Jen, for taking the time here with me. I just want to wrap up a bit on what are the things that I actually learned from you today. And it's really more on ROR and ROI. And something that I always say to my mentees as well, right? That when you get into coaching, consulting, or you becoming your own CEO, it's really more about leadership and healing yourself on becoming a better version of yourself every single time. It has nothing to do with your self-worth or how you do things, but it's really more of how you understand other people. And also, you know, when you go to these kinds of program and coaches, it's not just a trend. It's really more of having to know that you wanted to have the transformation and the change. ROI, ROR. Some things may be ROI, which is money back. There are also ROR, which is you changed your mindset. And or maybe you change your life, the way that you work. There are a lot of things that can happen if you allow it to happen. So please don't expect for speed in everything. Take in consideration, right? What is the kind of growth that you need right here, right now to prepare you for the future? So
yeah, that's really good. Yeah. And I have, Cassie, that's so good. What does ROR stand for?
Return of resources.
Oh, return of resources. Okay. I love that. That's my new learning. So listen, that those five questions I shared, I have that in a, like it's, we call it the five questions for navigating tricky situations, but they're also just the five great questions to use for just about any situation. So if you would like, I could give that to you as a free tool for your guests. And
I can send it over and put it in the link. Yeah, just give me
the link. We'll put that in the link. And then I also have a class that's free, a little workshop I did called 45 Minutes, The Secret to Building a Kick-Ass Team, Kick Butt Team, if we're on Facebook, because they don't like the word ass. So, so that's just a free workshop I did that people can check out. And of course, our lead well program. But I think just having some of those resources available to anybody is great. So, Cassie, I love what you're doing. And thank you so much for giving me my first podcast experience.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. My gosh. Okay. Yes. So we better give you all the tools for your audiograms and stuff. I'm going to give it all to you. Well, you're welcome. I mean, I know we had a different plan in terms of what were the talking points and stuff. It kind of like went a little out of that, but it's still leadership anyway, and very, something that we really need to talk about, I guess. I mean, it happens. And yeah, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. Again, everybody, as we end this episode, Jen is giving us all these resources and I'm giving it all to you guys. I'm just going to put it on the show notes. And please do check out Jen's Lead Well program. It's just amazing. Okay, so do drop me a message on Instagram. That's Cassie Pajarillo on what you picked up on today's episode. And we'd love to feature you if you've got any questions or if you want to ask Jen a question, go ahead and just send it over to her or I can just forward it to her. So so whichever that we discussed today, if you wanted to have more of these, do let me know. And again, this is your chief encourager, your host, Cassie Pajarillo, Braganza, Drive Ambition, Serve Love, and Be Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Jen.
Woohoo! Bye. Thanks, Cassie.
Of course.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.